Because of this passage, I have a great respect for those priests who no longer wear the Roman collar. You really can't tell that they're priests. And they say, "Call me Jim." Their motivation is so beautiful. They don't want to be treated differently, given the best places. We don't have room here. There's a 2-hour wait. "Oh, Father, oh, I see the collar. Yes, of course there's room. We got a table for you. Come on in." They said, "No, I don't want to be treated like that." And then when the Holy Father says to wear the Roman collar, that I leave between them and God. How they hear that, that's not for me to judge, but I know their motivation is beautiful, according to Matthew 23. I have a great respect for the church in giving us this chapter and not having changed it. Our Pope we call Holy Father. Or the church could have said, "Well, we'll use that for a weekday reading. We won't use it for Sunday." But Matthew 23 came for the 31st Sunday of the year, and it's proclaimed. And somebody who may not know would say, "Well, then how come you call your priest Father? How come you call the Pope Holy Father? Jesus said, 'Call no one on earth Father.'" And we say very simply, it's because that's not what he meant. He meant, don't put somebody in the place of God. Know that God is your Father who gives you every blessing. He's the one who gave you your Father. He's the one that called your Father, Father. Remember when he said, "Honor your father and your mother"? St. Paul says, "You call me Father. I fathered you. I begotten you. 10,000 of you. I am your Father." Sometimes they say, "Well, we go by the word." They don't say it, but they're saying, "We don't care what Jesus meant. What did he say?" They're the same people who have difficulty in John 6, where Jesus said, "This is my body." Then they'll say, "That's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. We go by his meaning." We go by the meaning, not by that word. Otherwise, in St. Luke, where we hear Jesus calling my dad Father, he said, "Unless you hate your father and your mother, you cannot have a part with me." Well, he didn't mean hate. That's right. He didn't. What did he mean? That God is first. Supposing you hear the word of God, whatever it may be, keep holy the Lord's day. And your dad says, "Mow the lawn." "Oh, no. I don't do that on Sunday." And so on Saturday morning, you got up and mowed the lawn because you knew he was going to make you do it on Sunday. Who'd you listen to? You listened to God the Father. He's first. That's what he means by that. God is first. And you listen to him. And in this passage, what we can take home with us is that fifth verse that's so powerful. And I would ask you with me to examine your conscience and see if we're not like the scribes and the Pharisees. All their works were performed to be seen. And ask yourself the question, how much do I do that nobody knows about and I'm very much at peace because my God knows? Really, it's a sign of your faith in God, whether you actually believe in God or not. That you really know that he knows all things. He even knows your thoughts. A person who has difficulty when their sins are made known. "Oh, it is terrible, terrible that they knew that I was drunk or they knew that I was stealing." Somebody was saying, they hadn't seen this friend for a long, long time. They graduated together. And he's being taken out of Myers in handcuffs because he was caught shoplifting. And I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed because my friend saw me. But what about the embarrassment that God saw you stealing that CD player? You know, that doesn't embarrass me. But what embarrasses me is that somebody knows my sin. See, they want to do works for the sake of being seen. What do you do? You hear that line, you know, why should I do it? What'd they do for me? What am I going to get out of it? Could you imagine really believing in God and just going out there and doing God's work for Him to see? Because He said to build up treasure in heaven, all I have to do is give a glass of water. That's all you have to do. And you've got something special waiting for you in heaven that's so glorious. Then why do you wait for a thank you note? Or somebody to pay you back? Ask yourself, am I really a follower of Jesus Christ? Do I really believe? Or I come across like some little kid. I did dishes yesterday. It's not my turn. I mean, we've got to go through that as a 10-year-old, maybe. But do we have to grow up with that attitude? Can't you have fun walking this way? Sending her flowers, and you don't even sign the card, and she doesn't know who it's from. She better hope it's from her husband. But doing surprise things that she doesn't even say thank you. She'll say, oh, somebody did this. Imagine doing those dishes and hoping that mom doesn't even notice when she comes in. Now, granted, that's a little far-fetched for a teenager, but for a child of God who works for the kingdom of God. And if she should say, wow, the kitchen looks nice. Who did the dishes? I'm not going to say, I did. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to get my reward from heaven, not here. Is that the kind of faith that we have? Ask the Lord for the grace, maybe just once a day, of doing something that nobody knows about. Might be perpetual adoration. You spend an extra hour, somebody didn't show up, and you don't say a word. God saw it. It's raking the leaves. Nobody has to know who did it. To really work for God. Another, you can work for God, can't you? She does. But do you have to tell everybody about it? She doesn't. All right. Now look at if Annetta can do it. Can't you do it, Jackie? Don't give her applause. She doesn't want it. She wants it in heaven, don't you? Take it back. Take that applause back. It's gone. It's really gone. It's so beautiful just to take that word and to live it. We don't even have a clue of how blessed we are that we hear Matthew 23. Your whole life will change. Your marriage will be tremendously blessed. Your family, your spirit, that self-pity and that anger and nobody notices anything I'm doing. Are you a follower of Jesus or what? See if you can do one thing a day. Send something to somebody. Call. Somehow. See if you can outsmart somebody in showing the love of God. I bet if you could do it once, you'd get caught up in the Spirit in everything you did. It would be for God. Everything. The dishes and the car and getting up in the morning. How many are still pushing the snooze button? I told you not to push the snooze button. It only caused irritation, upset, lack of sleep. Just jump up right away. As soon as, what'd you set the alarm for? So you can get up at that time and pray, get up. And it's hard. And you say, offer this up. Nobody knows. Except us when I ask you if you pushed it. But otherwise nobody knows that you just got up. You do it for the glory of God. You look for that cross. That's your cross for the day. You want to push the snooze button. Your cross is you're tired and you're getting up. You got your cross. Good. You don't have to kick your toe against the bedpost. You already got your cross. Ask the Lord for that grace. That I can do something without somebody noticing. Only you, Lord. Do you ever imagine every thought that you have is known by God? And how you can fill those thoughts with praise and worship? The beautiful colors still, the half the leaves that are on the tree are so beautiful on a beautiful day. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You made this world so beautiful. I wonder what the kingdom of God is, if it's a billion times more beautiful. You can fill that mind with all kinds of praise and goodness and forgiveness and love because you believe that He observes everything and all your works are performed for only Him to see. Please stand.